Good morning. As you're standing, please reach for your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. The title of this morning's message is, But God. Ephesians chapter 2. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once all conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. May God add his blessings to the reading and the hearing of his word. You may be seated. Tom asked me to stand in this Sunday, and Tom suggested the passage that we just read. As our pastor, I trust in his leadership and direction for our teaching. And it has been a joy for me to dig deeper into this treasure of Scripture. And I hope this morning that we can come to a deeper understanding of our standing in Christ Jesus. Who we were, who we are, and who we shall be. In the days we find ourselves in this time of pandemic, in this time of social distancing, in this time when our basic freedoms have been traded for promises of safety, when social unrest and violence seem to be daily headlines, when fear and uncertainty seem to be the currency of the day, we, you and I, we can find certainty in God's word. We can find peace in his presence. I hope this morning as we open God's word together that we could look anew at what God in his word tells us about how he sees us. We can find not only peace and certainty, but perhaps a more clear purpose for our lives, who we were, who we are, and who we shall be. First, who we were. Look in our passage, Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you, who? You. If we look back at Ephesians chapter 1, we see who Paul is talking about. As we study the Bible, it's important that we keep in mind the context. Pulling a verse out of context can lead to some very strange thinking. In quick summary, Paul has addressed this letter, this epistle to Ephesians 1:1, to the saints who are in Ephesus. To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Saints. Oh, those people. Those superstars of the faith. Wow. Ephesus must have had a lot of superstars, giants in the faith. I think about some of the faith, the heroes of the faith that I admire. I even think about some of the contemporary teachers and preachers that have made a positive influence in my life. But let's keep reading. Let's see what Paul says about these saints. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Blessed with spiritual blessings. Verse 3. Chosen before the foundation of the world. Verse 4. Predestined for adoption. Verse 5. Accepted in the beloved. Verse 6. Redeemed through the blood of Jesus. Verse 7. And forgiven of sin. Verse 7. We need a correct understanding of the title saint. If we look at these hallmarks, if we look at these characteristics, we see that saints describe believers in Christ. A saint is not a spiritual superstar, but a believer. Being called a saint is not dependent upon our performance, but it's upon the completed. It is finished at the cross. The atoning, his blood sacrifice covered our sin. The redemptive, Jesus bought us with a price. He redeemed us from our former master of sin. The work of Jesus. Being called a saint is not dependent upon your or my works. Being called a saint is dependent upon the completed, atoning, redemptive work of Jesus. When God the Father looks upon us as a believer, he sees us clothed in Christ's righteousness. I would ask you to personalize this. You. Paul is writing both to the church at Ephesus and to you and I, to us as believers, to you sitting here today and you at home. You. Back to our passage in Ephesians chapter 2, who we were. Verse 1, you who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We who were dead in trespasses and sin. You may have heard the term a dead man walking, referring to somebody who may not know it, but they're either dying of an unknown health issue or death is right around the corner for them. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is spiritual death, a separation from God. For God is holy and sin cannot abide in his presence. Our trespass, our sidestep off the correct path, our sin, our failure to do rightly, this has separated us from a holy God. This is spiritual death. You and I, we were all dead men and women walking. Verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, When the scriptures use that term walked, it talks about a lifestyle. So walked according to is a worldly lifestyle. Not only had we strayed from the path of righteousness, trespass, but we lived a lifestyle of stepping off the path. It was our way of life. According to the course of this world, we were not alone. This is the way the world is. Why is that? According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Last week, Victor shared with us on spiritual warfare, this trespass in sin, this lifestyle of stepping off the path, and our failure to do right is a battle plan of Satan. Verse 3, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Our conduct was living a lifestyle to please ourselves, our flesh, and we were no different from the rest of the world, just like the others. I want you to take notice how Paul changes the pronoun in verses 1, 2, and 3. He starts off by saying, you, verses 1 and 2. And then in verse 3, we. And then later in verse 3, our. Paul is not the strict schoolmaster scolding his pupils. He includes himself in this description. If you remember the humility of Paul, who called himself the chief of all sinners. Paul includes you and I in this description of who we were deserving of the wrath of a holy God. But God, verse 4, but God. Two words that change everything. But God, the divine intervention. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy, mercy, not giving us what we deserve. We deserve death, but God does not give us what we deserve. He is rich in mercy. God has an abundance of mercy. He is rich in mercy. Why? The scripture tells us because of his great love. Tom read earlier the passage from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When? Ephesians 2:5 tells us, even when we were dead in trespasses. He loved us even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Romans 5:8 tells us, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God does not wait for us to clean ourselves up before he loves us. This is not a conditional love. When you and I were unlovable, God loved us. He demonstrated that love. He put actions to his love. He gave his only Son. Sometimes we have a misunderstanding of this, and we expect others to clean up before they come to God. We have spiritual amnesia. We forget who we once were. We would do well to remember the song, just as I am, without one plea. And we need to give grace to others as God draws them to himself. Corinthians 6, 9 tells us, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Colossians 1:19 tells us, For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled, that in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Now back to our passage in Ephesians. Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. I like some translations use the term quickened. Made alive. Previously, we were dead in trespasses and sin. We who were dead have been made alive together with Christ. The dead brought back to life. This is resurrection power. Amen. Our salvation is by grace. Grace is God's free gift. Mercy was not giving us what we deserved, and grace is giving us what we do not deserve. It is not earned. Grace is God's free gift. Romans 3:21 goes on to say, But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Christ Jesus to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Romans 5:1 tells us, Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith unto this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of glory of God. Our salvation is by grace, and grace is God's free gift. Back to our passage in Ephesians 2:6. And he has raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Raised up. That resurrection power to sit together with Christ. Galatians 3:26 goes on to tell us that, For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Wow. Your position, my position, our position now. This is accomplished now, positionally and physically. It will be in our future. This should change our whole perspective on everything. Truly, this isn't our home. We are but pilgrims. Talk about rag to riches. In just 6 verses, we went from dead children of wrath to seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Heirs, joint heirs. I won't even begin to say I understand the depth of this passage. I see but through a glass darkly, dimly. But what I do see, what I do understand, is beyond exciting. Through God's mercy, through God's grace, because of his great love, we are saved. We are raised from death to life. We are seated with our Lord. We are adopted as children of God. We are called heirs. We are called joint heirs. Wow, what a contrast. We were dead, now alive. We walked in the way of the world, a lifestyle, and now we're raised up. We were children of wrath, and now we sit with Christ, joint heirs with him. God's attributes demonstrated in these verses. God is holy. Sin cannot abide in his presence. God is just. Sin must be dealt with. Payment must be made. God is loving. He gave his only son to be payment for that sin. He is rich in mercy. He provides a way so that we do not get what we deserve. God is rich in grace. He gives us what we do not deserve. Salvation. Adoption. Who we were? Dead. Who we are? Alive in Christ. Seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Joint heirs. Now let's look at who we shall be. Back to our passage in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and that we should walk in them. 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of the first verses I memorized as a new believer. Therefore, if any was in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Ephesians 2:7 again repeat, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. In the ages to come. This is not just the far future. Try this for size. From henceforth, he might show his exceeding riches. From this day forward, he might show his exceeding riches. From now on, he might show. You get the idea. God might show or demonstrate, to put on showcase, to display. What? To display the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness toward you and I. You, saint, are God's showpiece. In you and in me, God demonstrates his grace and his kindness. We were dead. We deserved it. But God, rich in mercy, rich in grace, not only saved us, gave life to the dead, but raised us up to sit with Christ. Think again on that beautiful picture that is baptism. Dead and buried with Christ and raised to new life eternal with Christ. I'm a shy person by nature. It's a hard thing for me to be up here in front of you all. It's far easier for me to serve from the back where I'm not noticed. But it's even harder for me to think that I might be a showcase. I might be a showpiece, on display. But I'm not a showcase to draw attention to myself, because what have I done? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We have nothing to boast about. It's all God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Workmanship. Think of a Stradivarius, a violin. Sitting there, it's beautiful in and of itself, but when it's played, it's beyond beautiful. When it's fulfilling its purpose, does it draw attention to itself? No, it points to the composer, to the master, to the musician. When you visit a museum and you look at a work of art, a painting or a sculpture, you don't give credit to the painting, to the statue. You give credit and praise to the artist, to the master. We, you and I, Christian, you and I, saint, we are his workmanship. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus, created not to live as we lived before, but to live as one who is seated with Christ in the heavenlies. A new creation, a joint heir with Christ, created for good works, not to bring praise to ourselves, but to our master. This is what we were created for. We are not saved by our good works, but saved to good works. His workmanship. I am not a language scholar, but I read that there is a very strong emphasis on his in this passage in the original languages. This is his work in his power for his glory. Just as we could not save ourselves, you and I, we cannot do this work on our own, in our own strength or our own power. God prepared them beforehand. He prepared these good works before. He leads, he guides, and he empowers. I like the warning from those reality shows on TV. Don't try this at home. Don't try this alone. Don't try this on your own power. You could not save yourself. You cannot do this on your own as well. But God does not leave us orphans. Amen. He has given us his Holy Spirit to lead and empower us to do these good works that he himself has prepared beforehand for us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Remember that walking in is a lifestyle. Let us walk in the Spirit. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of life. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined, and to be conformed to the image of his Son, that they might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. These good works that God prepared beforehand are part of the toolbox that God uses in our lives to make us what he wants us to become. The process of sanctification is not just about no to the world, no to the lust of the flesh, no to temptation. It's about yes. Yes to obeying God's word. Yes to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Yes to love, to joy, to peace, to long-suffering, to kindness, to goodness, to faithfulness, to gentleness, and self-control. There is more power in saying yes than trying to say no. To obey is better than sacrifice. As we grow spiritually, we will find that by saying yes and following God, we have true liberty and freedom, a life that is abundant and free. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. As we have read God's word this morning, it is my hope and prayer that you have rediscovered what God in his word tells us about how he sees us, our position in Christ, that we can find not only peace and certainty, but perhaps a more clear purpose for our life, who we were, who we are, and who we shall be. The worship team will come up and lead us in two songs. And as we sing, this is a time for you here and at home to respond to God's word and his Holy Spirit. As we read about who we shall be, perhaps you are encouraged to walk more in Christ as he leads you to become his workmanship, his masterpiece, to walk in, to develop a lifestyle. Perhaps you are strengthened as we read about who we are in Christ, to know with certainty that God sees you in Christ, a saint, raised to life, seated with Christ. Or perhaps, as we read about who you were, you find yourself walking in the way of the world, still following the prince of the power of the air, not yet come to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Today can be the day that that changes. Today, right now, can be your day of salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you find yourself in that place, as we read this morning, salvation is a gift of God. In his grace, in his love, he made a way to pay for our sin, the atoning death of Jesus Christ. We read this morning that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. If you'd like right now, you could follow along with me in a very simple prayer, and today can be your day of salvation. Father in heaven, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner in need of you and your gift of salvation. I believe in Jesus, that he paid the debt that I could not pay, and I want to be your child. Forgive me, save me, fill me, and lead me. If you prayed that prayer, today is your day of salvation. As we sing these two songs, Pastor Tom and I will be up here to pray with you. And after these songs, I'll close us. In John 14, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance unto you and give you peace." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us. This is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the worship. Go with us, Lord. Lead us. Come alongside us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.